you know, I think, again, fortunately, I kind of had that thought process already there, and I just had to be accepting of it. Now, in saying this, I'm a work in progress, and we are all works in progress. And the older we get, the more experienced we get, the more we get dug in into what we think we know, right? So I'm constantly always challenging myself to this day to like, hey, to unknow what I know. Right. And I think that experience and, you know, how I process failure and all that kind of all kind of tie in to how I try to continue to be on that growth path. And so when someone so close to you hits you with something like that, I think it becomes a little bit easier to even accept it from other places, right? And to accept that gift, because, and I do consider it a gift, because look, here I am, my daughter, we're having a graduation party this weekend. She's doing great. My son's doing great. And I've been there for the whole ride.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Ask Me How I Know. I am over the moon stoked on this conversation that we are about ready to have with Ronell Richards. And it's just going to blow your mind. So if you have any influence in a child's life, whatever stage they are, this conversation is going to just be like power packed for you to support them along that journey and maybe even remain a little bit sane and intact in the process. Is that even possible? Ronell, welcome to Ask Me How I Know.
Julie, thank you so much for inviting me. I got to tell you, I'm excited. This is actually a topic that I haven't spoken much about, and I've been on my fair share of different media outlets and podcasts, and this isn't something that a lot of people talk to me about. So I'm excited about the topic, and I'm ready to rock. Wherever you want to take it, let's go.
Oh, I'm so stoked. So my audience knows that I don't do big introductions or anything, but you know, Ronell, you have been featured in so many different amazing spots, and you've accomplished so many things. But you've been so, you come across so grounded and you're super authentic. And I appreciate people that find success, but remain grounded. And the fact that you have, you know, you've raised kids, you're on the, like, there you go. One just graduated, you know, last one just graduated.
It's crazy. Yeah. I only have two, but yeah, they're back to back. So one is a freshman. Well, now a sophomore in college, and one is about to be a freshman.
It is wild, which makes you the only guest that I have ever featured, really, that's really super qualified to speak to, you know, hey, I'm an entrepreneur. I built a business at multiples and I've accomplished these things. I also have daughters and a family. And I'm just wondering, how do we as adults that are around young people, because I don't want to exclude this just to parents, there are aunts and uncles and people who have friends or surrogates, there are so many, it really takes a village. We know it takes a village to raise up kids in to be like superstars in this world. Mm-hmm. So let's talk to adults out there who have influence in young lives.
Yeah. So, first, you know, a lot of people think it's fun to talk about, you know, business success and all those sorts of things. But I make no bones about it that the biggest success I've had in my life is those kids, you know, and the impact what entrepreneurship and business has been able to allow me to do for them. Because if you're an entrepreneur, what you're signing up for is a rough ride, right? In a lot of ways. And what really fuels you and what will fuel your success is not financial gains, because you're going to lose a lot more money before you make it. And then once you make it, you'll probably lose it again. And then you'll make it again and lose it again. And so that's just kind of the way that it goes. But what it's been able to do for me is really allow me to impact their lives, right? To be present, to be there. And this is something that not only relates to me as a parent, but if you're not a parent and you've got, you know, you can be involved with nieces, nephews, whatever, youth organizations. Entrepreneurship for me and business has allowed me the flexibility in my life and my schedule to be able to be there and be present for those people that matter to me. And that And that's far more fulfilling than those checks. I'm just going to tell you right now, guys, that first big check you get, oh, that's cool. That's exciting. But then you get another big check. Oh, and then you're writing a big check. And then you get and that just becomes pushing numbers at some point. I'm not saying that you shouldn't pursue those things. And, you know, there isn't some enjoyment in that, but long term, not nearly as much as, you know, making an impact in those other ways. And some people get it twisted, Julie, like they allow that business to take them away and they use the business as an excuse to take them away, right? Like, oh, I'm doing this to be successful and provide and everything. But the best thing we can provide for anyone that we care about is our presence and being there and supporting them. And that's just kind of what I've learned. And in saying that, the one thing I want you to know is that I'm not preachy Mick Preacherson over here, right? Like, I had to learn that too. I had to learn that the hard way. And I learned that a few years into my career as an entrepreneur and with the company that I started. And I got a wake up call from my wife one day. And she's like, look, dude, you're here, but you're not here. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, I'm doing this for us, right? The typical thing that we would all do.
Yes.
I'm doing this for us. What do you mean? I'm here. No, you're not. You're in your laptop. You're doing this. And so I learned at that point that, hey, I needed to make a decision and really create some, understand what my priorities were. And, you know, if you're someone that has young ones in your life, understand that we only have a certain amount of time. It's not an infinite amount of time. We only have a small amount of time to really make an impact in their lives. Like, I can pursue my business, my businesses for the rest of my life, or as long as I can run my mouth, I can sell stuff, right? But I got 18 years to not screw them up.
Right.
Right.
And I think it's even less than that. I always tell my husband, by the time they're, you know, 14, 15, when they start to drive in Idaho, they can drive at, I think, 15, get their permit at 14.
Drive their tractors.
Exactly. Oh, they're already driving like the quads and all that. Okay. But, you know, like by the time they do that, like high school hits and they have their own social life and it's this natural, it really is such a short period of time.
Yeah, it is. And it, you know, it's cliche, I know, but it goes like this. It really does. Yeah. So, you know, I think the most important thing and what's kind of helped me is just, first of all, having my wife there to get me in line, but then, you know, really taking those actions to make sure that they were a priority. And guess what? That came at a cost, but it's a cost I'll pay 100 times over. Yeah. Do I feel like I could have made more money, grew a bigger company? Yep. But you know what I don't want to be? I didn't want to be Steve Jobs. No disrespect to Steve Jobs. He created this stuff and
all the stuff we're using.
We'll be talking about him for centuries, but kids didn't really dig him. Didn't really have much of a family life. Mm-hmm. That's what the real legacy is for me.
I love that. Okay. I have to ask, because this is something that comes up with entrepreneurs where their spouse, you know, articulates like, hey, we need your attention. We need your presence. And there will be that disconnect and, you know, the arguments that can happen and things like that. I think any entrepreneur listening has been there because it's part of the journey. But this is where it's rare when someone listens to their spouse and hears that. So what would you say allowed you to hear your wife say, you're not present, we need you here? Like, how did you, to be able to receive that and then take action? I love it. I already liked you. I'm like, you're even like, you just keep getting better and better.
Well, you know, again, at first that's not easy to hear. It is absolutely not easy to hear. Especially again, when we believe that these sacrifices and these things that we're doing on behalf of them. However, for me, and shout out to my parents who kind of laid the groundwork for me, nothing's more important than family. Nothing's more important than family. It's more important than my kids and my wife. So like, it wasn't a hard decision for me to make. Yeah, it hurt my ego a little bit, maybe, but you got to receive that. And that's not just a lesson for that in general. So it's a lesson for everything, man. Like, you know, criticism sucks. It hurts. We don't want it. I hate it. I'll be the first. I want to be right 100% of the time. People, my wife will tell you that. But we have to know when to receive that gift, you know, when to receive that gift and take action. And for me, it was just, I just knew that that wasn't something that I was willing to lose.
Okay. But to receive it as a gift, that's even goes deeper into your mindset. And this is one of those things that drew me to you, is that you have a powerhouse mindset. So how, because most people won't even see a challenge, an obstacle, a negative situation. They don't see that as an opportunity or even a gift. Yeah. So did you always have that mindset, or is that something that you've developed?
So yes, but it evolved, right? So like in entrepreneurship, for example, it's part of my DNA to not really not hold on to failures, right? So like early on, and I just kind of always had this thing in my head where, look, stuff's going to happen, right? And when it happens, I'm going to be able to check that off as a merit badge, so to speak, right? Like when you're the Girl Scouts, and you're like, you walk the old lady across the street. Now you can check that off. Walk the lady across the street, right? And so I just knew that that was what I needed to do. It was going to be part of my path, right? Like, so accepting those things and learning from them, right? Processing them. That's something that's cliche and people talk about, but not a lot of people really, really believe that and really embrace that philosophy, right? Of just like, hey, look, this negative thing happened, boom, it hurts. It's not like you don't feel it, it hurts, but I process it, I check it off in the box, and it makes me feel accomplished, right? Because now I've got that. I've walked the lady across the street. Now I know how to do that and I grow from that. So that was part of my DNA and easy for me as it related to the business. But now when we get a little more personal, that's where, but you know, I think again, fortunately I kind of had that thought process already there and I just had to be accepting of it. Now I'm saying this, I'm a work in progress and we are all works in progress. And the older we get, the more experienced we get, the more we get dug in into what we think we know, right? So I'm constantly always challenging myself to this day to like, hey, to unknow what I know, right? And I think that experience and, you know, how I process failure and all that kind of tie in to how I try to continue to be on that growth path. And so when someone so close to you hits you with something like that, I think it becomes a little bit easier to even accept it from other places, right? And to accept that gift because I do consider it a gift because look, here I am, my daughter, we're having a graduation party this weekend. She's doing great. My son's doing great. And I've been there for the whole ride.
That's really interesting. I look at that and I've been trying to reframe it for me as like feedback. Like we're always looking for feedback, you know, in the world to improve our business or, you know, different elements. And it's like in our relationships.
But are we really though, Julie? That's the challenge.
Oh,
usually we want is we want people to just tell us what we want to hear. We want the feedback we want is we want that pause. We want, Julie, you're doing great. Oh yeah, Julie, what you're doing, that makes sense. We don't want to hear the other stuff. And trust me, I'm not a guy that feels like I'm above that. Oh no, I'm challenged with it. I'm challenged, but I also realize that in my career and my life as an entrepreneur, there are many times, many years where I'm the smartest guy in the room. I'm the one where everyone goes to for all the questions and all those sorts of things in my company. And what I've learned over time is that limited me. Like we weren't able to accomplish the things that we should have accomplished because I didn't have enough people around challenging me, enough people that could push back and give me that critical feedback because that's where the growth is. Like you're in the exercise, right?
Mm-hmm,
like we don't grow muscles by like doing this.
Not at all.
Right? I need some 50-pound dumbbells, right? That's going that really breaks that muscle down, breaks those muscle fibers. That's how we grow. It's no different in business or life. But again, constant journey, man. And but I am not a finished product, but I'm working on it.
It's so true. When I really dove into writing, so everyone knows I ride mountain bikes, so I'm always articulating that writing. But working with editors, that really helped me embrace that feedback process and that editing. And so it's like, I can't become a better writer. I can't communicate clearly unless you just make my page bleed red. I need to see. And there was, I mean, talk about a painful process, right? To grow in the writing craft. But that's where I really learned in my 30s. I just really learned to embrace like feedback. Anyone who is willing to give me honest feedback, the stuff that's not, because it's hard to say. It's hard to say.
Absolutely.
So, you know, hey, Ronell, I am kind of noticed, like, we people bounce around the bush. They don't want to just be forthright with it and say, hey, you know what? You're neglecting this in your life and you're going to be a train wreck. So, you know, but if you can receive it and if you can say it, it speeds processes up. Not that we have to speed it up, because it is all about the journey. It's like, why do people have to go like Mach 10 through this whole thing? It's like, what happens when you get to the finish line?
Well, it's over.
Right? It's over. You want it to be over?
Yeah, you're right. And that's, oh, wow. What a great point you just touched on. What a great point. And that's something for me that has been something that I've really only in recent years come to accept and come to really know that that's where my pleasure was in the journey, because I've spent a whole lot of years, Julie, just checking off boxes like, okay, did this, did that, boom, 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 boom. And that was, it was just constantly reaching for that next thing, that next boggle, that next success, so that I can check it off my box. I'll check it off the box. But the thing about that is, it's not really that fulfilling. It isn't, because as soon as you check it off the box, that's on to the next one. And I'm not one, I've never been one for like patting myself on the back. So like, it's just constant. It's like, okay, did this. All right. Got to do the next thing. Got to do this, do that. And, you know, and so what I've come to understand and come to appreciate more through therapy
right,
is that, you know, it's again, my joy has really been in the creating and in the journey and building, you know, like that's the fun part. And once you achieve whatever it is, it's the end, and that's kind of cool for a second, but then it can be pretty anticlimactic.
And like you said, it's cool for a second, and really the ultimate end is death. So it's like, did you really want to just like speed this along?
No, man.
Right. Okay. I could delve into this so much deeper, but I really want to go into that concept of, I happen to know, I think you and I are in the same boat where we know a lot of entrepreneurs. We're kind of surrounded by that community. And sometimes I notice that entrepreneurs will want, like, almost want to create their kids into young, you know, entrepreneurs. And so I'll see, you know, oh, my kids started this business, and it's all great, you know, and it's great to teach our kids that. But I'm wondering what in your opinion, the balance would be between parents basically trying to be like, oh, I had to learn all of these things the hard way and through the hard knocks, which we both, I think, agree that that's part of the process, is like you have to grow and evolve. But kind of thinking, I'm doing my kids a service if I teach them these skills. Like, what's the balance there between those, in your opinion?
So my goal for my kids has never been that they're going to be entrepreneurs. You have to be built different for this. Like, this isn't something for everyone. And there are different ways, different shades, different colors, different ways to be an entrepreneur, right? Like, the way that I do it is not necessarily the route for everyone. In fact, it's not the route for most people. It really isn't. So my goal for my kids was never to, hey, look, you're going to be an entrepreneur. My goal for my kids is to be leaders and free thinkers. And so I wanted to, I've always been focused on having them. They've always been involved with the business, with whatever business, but by the way, like, so when they were in elementary school, I'd pick them up from the bus and they'd come right over to my office. right? And they come in the office and they sit down next to my employees and computers and do whatever it is that they do, right? Part of that comes from my girl, from my childhood, because I grew up in business too. My parents owned businesses and I did things like, you know, I was taking deposits to the bank when I was 7 and 8 years old, which is not really safe today, but whatever.
Now you give them a phone, say, take a picture of this, make a deposit. Yeah.
And so the lessons in leadership and individuality that I learned growing up in an entrepreneurial household, I wanted to impart on them. And the best way I knew to do that is to involve them, to let them see these things. So it's not about what the stuff that we say, and it's really about what they're seeing, you know, how they see us create. They see us stand on our own. They see us go through difficult times. And my kids have seen a bit of all of that. And so I really just tried to expose them to as much of the business as possible. I don't know that either one of my kids will be entrepreneurs at the end of the day. I don't know, but I know one thing: they are not afraid to be different. They're not afraid to walk to the beat of their own drum. They're not afraid to stand up for whatever it is that they believe. That's a success for me, and that's what I wanted for them. And that's part of what entrepreneurs, successful entrepreneurs, have to do.
That's huge. And my husband and I, that's our approach with our kids as well, is like, just be able to think things through. So as we go through mathematics, they're not highly skilled mathematicians, let's put it that way. But I always tell my daughter, you know, fourth grade math, I just said, this isn't about the math. This is about learning how to think. This is problem solving. This is not 1 + 1 = 2. This is like, how are we thinking through this? Like even using those as like these opportunities, it's all about like just thinking in different ways. But that's even a systematic type process thinking, but to be able to think about the world and some of the things I'm sure you've been blown away too, but sometimes they catch me and the questions they'll ask that are really insightful with what's going on in society. And I'm like, whoa, where did that? Wow. And that to me makes me feel like a win, because it's like they're being aware and they're thinking and they're engaging it and trying to process. So,
yeah. Well, you touched on something there, problem solving and critical thinking, right? That is a massive part of what entrepreneurship is about. You know, when I'm working with clients and I tell them, listen, you know, your path to success in entrepreneurship is not straight. You got to listen to the universe, you got to listen to your customers, and you got to lean into what's working, and you have to observe and create solutions, right? So again, other great skills for kids, right? To have that ability, it will serve them very well, whether they're an entrepreneur or whether they go work someplace else or whatever, they'll be successful. So I think that's super dope that your kids are already practicing those skills.
It's super cool. Okay. We are coming to a point where I'm going to have to like honor time and wrap this up. But if you wouldn't mind, you know, we have that agreement on the process and the journey and like, let's not race to the end of the finish line. Let's enjoy this. So you love to make things into a joyful journey. So what are a couple of things that people listening, they might be able to say, I'm having a difficult time, you know, entrepreneurship is difficult. And even if you're not an entrepreneur and you're one of my listeners that's, you know, in a regular traditional job space, and you're listening to this for mindset, we all face challenges. So what are some approaches that have helped you create joy throughout the process?
Oh, that sounds like a simple question for me, but it's not. It absolutely is not, because this is something that I'm challenged with. Like, if you were asking me today, Ronnell, what brings you joy? I don't know. I really don't know. Like after all of these years and just, I am conditioned. I just do. I do because it's part of my being, like this entrepreneurship thing, this business thing. It's just who I am. I would say that what has been really important along the way, and this is stuff for whether you're an entrepreneur or you're a corporate. I have an old friend coined this phrase. I think he said corporate or something like that. It's basically a corporate entrepreneur, right?
That makes sense. Yeah.
is a really, and guys, please listen to me when I say this, because it's becoming cliche, right? But it's really important, but an intense focus on physical and mental health. The physical health part, I always got. I've been training since I was, 19 years old, never stopped. And that has helped me to process stress. I used to think that my superpower in business was my ability to process stress. Well, I think a lot of that had to do with my fitness level, right? Allowing me to do that. But what I neglected earlier on was the mental health component, right? And really understanding that I needed to care for that. And so I do a better job with that, with supplements and with therapy and stuff like that. And just, this is training. This is how you perform at a high level. And I like to kind of remove some of the stigmas from this, because you don't do therapy. You don't work out because you have a problem. You do that because you want to be able to perform at your highest possible level. All of your top executives, this is what they do. Like they have a team. They have teams of people, and those teams of people help them perform at a higher level, and they help them to find their joy, right? And what it is that they're doing. So back to your original question. So when I sit down with my, and I have my own little team, I don't have a big executive team, but I have my own little team of folks that help me work on my body, help me work on my mind. And that helps me to be in a better space mentally, where I can break things down and kind of find that joy, right? I will say that if whatever it is that you're doing, and this is something, I guess it's just top of mind because I posted about this a few days ago, but whatever you're doing, if it's taking you away from what matters most, is taking you away from your loved ones, that's not good business. And you will absolutely, I don't care how much money you're making, you will absolutely not be happy, because the money cannot fill that hole. It just can't. It can't. So if you're in a business and you're making tons of money and you're doing really well, but it's taking you away from your loved ones, and you need to get out. You need to find something that allows you to be there, be present. Cause at the end of the day, that's what matters the most, man. For anyone that's seen Citizen Kane, which is one of my favorite movies, old school, many say the best movie of all time. It's definitely like a top five. He ends his life with all of this stuff around him and no people. What's the joy in that, man? So,
yeah. In the purpose and everything. Oh gosh, Ronnell, I have so many other questions, so many other topics that I would just love to sit and have some bourbon and talk about it. If you wouldn't mind, as we wrap up, how can people get in touch with you if they want to grow? And maybe if you would give a nutshell over, like, who might want to get in touch with you?
Yeah, well, I would encourage people to go to businessandbourbon.live and join our community. Business and Bourbon is really about doing better business and bringing together a community of kind of like-minded folks that are seeking wisdom and willing to share wisdom and business and beyond. Yes, it's Business and Bourbon. So people typically, they always get that screwed up. They think about the whiskey first, because I think bourbon is like, oh yeah, bourbon. But it's not really about that. It's always business before bourbon. And what we do is we've really kind of created this really dope community where we're doing in-person events. I don't know if we're going to get up there to Northern Idaho, Julie, but we have
Coeur d'Alene been to Missoula. Resort. It's
really great. We have been to Missoula, Montana. So we've been somewhere north. Anyway, so we do these great events, both in person and virtual. And really the goal is just to really kind of bring together a really great community based on the stuff that I kind of talk about and the philosophies that I have and how we do business and how we build relationships. And that just kind of is something that, I think people really dig, and I would encourage your listeners, go to businessbourbon.live, become a member. It's free. When we're in town, come out and see us. And there'll be some other opportunities where people can engage with really cool people like Julie on the platform. And if you need some additional help, that's also a good conduit to me for other stuff that you might need my assistants on, but start there, businessandbourbon.live.
And definitely start there, because I think finding your tribe and finding like-minded people where, you know, I mean, relationships and good business practices. I mean, it's not every day, and you really have to find those pools of people. And when you surround, just like you said earlier about surrounding yourself with teams, you know, and having the right, like, that's part of it, is who are those people in your close network that you're developing relationships with. So make sure you head there. And Ronnell, thank you so very much for joining us on Ask Me How I Know.
My pleasure, Julie. Thanks so much for having me.
To all my listeners, thanks for joining us. I hope this encouraged, inspired you, and go take your next step. Find your freedom.
Thanks so much for joining me for another episode of Ask Me How I Know. This episode was brought to you by Three Keys Investments. They are dedicated to helping people like you. Yeah, you, my awesome listeners, develop passive income and legacy wealth through multifamily investing. Feel free to check out their website, threekeysinvestments.com, to see if there's an offering that will help your portfolio grow and meet all of your needs. If you haven't already rated, reviewed, subscribed, liked, all of those bells and whistles, I would be absolutely honored if you would do that for Ask Me How I Know. Thanks again, and go make it a great day.